sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavaritamastamavidvishavahai om shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 40. The material opulences a person obtains by offering prayers to the goddess Durga are temporary, as described in Bhagavad Gita 7.23. Antavat tu phalam te sham, tad bhavat yalpa medisam. Men of meager intelligence desire temporary happiness. So the idea being is that the Durga, she gives everything temporary because you're dealing with temporary situations. Right? We're dealing with Krishna's energy. The energy is eternal. We're eternal. Right? The concept of relationship, rasa, that's eternal. But because we don't do that on the eternal platform or connected to Krishna, therefore by nature it has to be temporary. Right? You know, if you don't have light, you have darkness. Right? So if you don't have eternal, you have temporary. So Krishna is eternal. Everything that we're dealing with is Krishna. Right? The engagement of the senses, that's Krishna. Right? Wealth is opulence is Krishna. So when we don't see it in connection with Krishna, we are dealing with the temporary. Right? That's what is called Maya. That's illusion. It's when we think that what we're dealing with is connected with us, the soul, or is eternal. That's the illusion. Means Maya is eternal, Maya is real, but the point is the manifestation is constantly changing, and since it's constant changing means our body's changing and therefore our relationships are changing, then it will be a cause of frustration. Right? In the spiritual world, the variety that's generated from the feminine nature doesn't affect your relationship with Krishna and the others. So you stay the same. Right? But the environment around you changes for variety, for taste, for rasa. So when that's applied here, then it's frustration because our mentality is not fixed. It can only be fixed if it's on Krishna. Otherwise it has 8,400,000 options. Right? And so therefore that means temporary. You know, I mean even two options, you know, there's a change. You know, let alone 8,400,000. Right? And that's the broad categories. Right? Then there's detail within that.
Which can be significant.
Yes, you know, like you have these street dogs out here. Okay? Now some have hair, some don't. Some have half hair. Now the
some have ears.
Some have ears, some don't. Yeah, and so that you know, so that means they could have the left ear, not the right, have the right, not the left, or half of the left, a full of the right, or two halves of two ears. You know, so you understand? That's how it goes, you know. Like that, then you get so much variety. So that's the problem. It keeps changing here, and because our identity is not fixed on the Lord, therefore our identity keeps changing, therefore our situations keep changing, it's temporary. And therefore we are frustrated, you know, unhappy, angry.
Many varieties of that
also. Yes, yeah. Yes, sir. So that's the thing, is that one has to be less intelligent to therefore approach Durga for these temporary things, because they'll come and go anyway. Right? It's just a matter of you do good work, you get good stuff. You don't do good work, you don't get good stuff. It's basically pretty simple. Yes.
So as the devotees, we understand this principle, eternal and temporary, but somehow on our own, you know, level of consciousness, we understand temporary is not important, but somewhat it is important. So we pray Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim, but with the hope it's going to happen. Means it's going to come.
So in other words, some Danam, some Janam, some Sundarim.
Yeah, not as strong Nadanam Najanam.
Yeah. But not completely, I want all this.
Yeah.
Something, so little. Okay. That's just because of conditioning, as it mentioned before. We're just used to that. So that's why we continue like that. See, the problem is Krishna, the thing is we mix up is that engaging the senses means for ourselves.
Yeah.
But actually, engaging the senses is the natural position of the living entity and the Lord. But it's just that the interaction is between themselves on that transcendental platform. So we think that engaging the senses means material and not engaging the senses is spiritual. It comes from jnana.
Right?
So because we either think karma or jnana.
Yeah.
So the point is the engaged senses can be engaged, it's just connected to the Lord. So in the beginning we'll be thinking, well, what am I going to get from this? But actually it's that relationship with Krishna, that's a much greater position. So therefore our appreciation of the engagement of the senses is much greater. That. It just takes time for us to adjust to that. Right? So that's why the Bhagavatam takes it through step by step. Because the tendency is that, you know, it's all or nothing. We can't see that, the senses are engaged. So all the facility, that's not the thing, but it's not about the facility, it's about Krishna. Yes. That's the whole thing. You know, it's just like, it's not about the house, it's about the interaction with you know, family and friends in the house, right? The house is just a nice medium for that, but we see in Calcutta that people are not, we wouldn't necessarily call it a house. We would call it a piece of plastic and a bunch of other stuff, you know?
Tire
on the roof to keep the plastic from blowing away, you know? Yeah, like that. But the point is it's still the same principle. It's an environment where there is a, within the particular conditioning, there's a consistency of experience. So we're always trying to generate that consistency of experience. You know, so that's the fun part, is we want stability, but we want variety.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is that in the spiritual world, that stability is Krishna, and then the variety is created by the internal potency.
Yeah.
In the material world, that stability means we don't have the stability in Krishna, so technically there's no stability. So all we have is the variety, and then we try to create stability in variety. That's where the problem comes up.
Yeah.
Is because we want the variety, but we also need stability. Right? Because the eye is the stable part, and the mind is the variety part. But we're putting both things in one place. You know, so that's the thing. Then you have the problem of the cake and eating it.
So variety in this particular case is Maya.
Is Maya.
It's not real.
It's real, but the problem is it will change. So that means our stability will change. Well, if our stability is in Krishna, then the variety doesn't bother us.
Can you say that connected with Krishna, the stability is the principle and the variety is the detail, but actually it's upside down without that variety is the principle, and we're trying under that to create some stability, and it won't work because of this basis.
No, because this basis is change.
Yes, exactly.
It means variety means change. Yes. But in the spiritual world, that changes, then you have the stability of Krishna. So then the variety is nice. You know? So that's the difficulty. So how will we have the stability in the variety? That's always going to be a problem. No matter who you have, the most successful person, They have all their stuff, they have all their facility, they got all the stability they want. And then at some point they get bored. They want to change. You know, I mean, the modern sense is called midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what's happening, is they have it. Either they didn't get it and they're frustrated, so they try something new, or they have it all and they see that it still gives no taste and they want something new. You know? So does that make sense? So it's just the nature of the material world. We're trying to, we're working on techniques of balance while keeping both feet on banana peels. You know? Like that.
Yes. Yeah.
I like the mental image.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. And so then... Yeah.
I need to be expert.
Yeah, you're very expert, you know. That's
on ice rink.
Yeah, ice rink, or what's it, James Brown?
Yeah. Maybe that was a secret.
Yeah, because he could go down and then back up.
That was a secret.
Yeah, you know, if the guys on Broadway, they know what they're doing, right? You know. My God. Yeah, that's the actual what's going on in contemporary dancing.
Lots of bananas.
Yeah. So that's the underlying difficulty, is that we're desiring temporary happiness. We think that that's because the happiness is not in the variety, the happiness is in Krishna. You know, it's just like, let's say every night one goes out to a different place to eat, right? So what's the stable point?
Eating.
The eating. What's the variety?
The place.
Mm-hmm. You understand? So that's the point. Krishna's the stability. That's the real taste.
Yes.
And then the variety adds to that. But since we've removed Krishna, we think the taste is coming from the variety.
Mm-hmm.
Our stability comes from the variety. Our identity is with the variety. But our identity is servant of Krishna. Then there's the variety. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the real crux of our problem.
Yes.
And so then, because of that, it generates all variety of insanity.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why, you know, we have 18,000 verses to work all that out. Right? But this is the simple point, is the relationships with Krishna. The taste is with Krishna. Right? The interaction is with Krishna. And then there's the variety of the environments in which we do that. Right? That's why when the situation changes, we feel insecure. We're trying to control the situation by making it all the same. But at the same time, if it's the same, it won't work. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. That's what we want. Yes.
So can we say that the stage of nishtha will be that when we develop enough faith in Krishna, then whatever happens around us, still, you know, we follow.
Yes, we can do our service.
Yeah.
The main point is service mentality will remain, because as variety is there, sometimes, you know, you're chanting in the morning, sometimes at night, sometimes all through the day. You know, sometimes you get in all your baths, sometimes you don't, sometimes your eating goes regular, sometimes it doesn't. But the devotion, that will remain, that will be the steady part.
This is the stable part.
That's the stable part, not the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Means if we can control the environment to make it like that, in other words, if we can, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But the same time as we do our best, and in reality, it doesn't necessarily work out that way. That's what we have to get used to, because we're thinking, no, stability means the environment doesn't change. You know, so we have this, what would be called? The guy who super intelligent but super socially dysfunctional. No. It's a mental condition.
Oh, dependent on Asperger's or autism.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We want everything the same, but we can't handle anything different.
Yeah.
We want all the variety, but we don't, you know. It's just like, okay, the boy, he likes the girl because, you know, she who she is, and she'll make friends, so active and all that, and she likes the boy because he does this and that and so many things. Then they, you know, it works out, they get married, and then, you know, you don't let the other person do any of that.
Yes.
And then you wonder, where's the variety? You were, you know, before you were like, yeah, and who's stopping that? You understand? So that's the thing, is because we're putting two things in one place. You know? That's the whole point. While the other is, it's just on Krishna, and therefore the variety can just move. That's why we're just dependent on Krishna. That's why, like Prahlad Maharaj, he has no problem. He's fixed in Krishna, and the environment around him, you know, there's variety, you know? Sometimes he's in the palace, sometimes he's in, you know, on a block of ice, sometimes flying off a mountain, you know, like that. Sometimes hanging out with elephants, like that, you know. You understand? That's what it is. That's what the fearlessness is, comes because we're fearless because we're stable in Krishna. So we're not fearful of the changing environment. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So,
and then,
so that's why Prahlad Maharaj always talks about becoming fearless. So become fearless by taking shelter of Krishna. We think we'll become fearless by becoming tough, going down, learning some martial arts, you know, like that. You know, that's one way, because you have some confidence of something you can keep stable. But the only real stable point is Krishna. Everything else is always changing. So that's why we're trying to, if we take shelter of Krishna, that's your main thing. That's what we're trying to do. That's what all these things, so whether it's a brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, that doesn't matter. These are the varieties. Right? These are the varieties. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, if you're going to have variety, let's say you have peacefulness, then there has to be unpeacefulness. Yes. You understand? So it's just a matter of, it will go back and forth. It's just a matter of how it is. You know, it's like, what do you call it? Yiking? Huh? Yeah, yiking.
Oh, it's the diagram?
Yeah.
I call it the I-Ching.
I think that's the English pronunciation.
The Tao Te Ching.
Yeah. Means, so the I-Ching is basically, this is the fundamental principle under it. And it has a lot of detail and where it situates you. But basically like this. If things are going good, don't get too elated because things may go down. And if things are bad, don't get too worried because things will change and get better. That's I-Ching in a nutshell. Right?
Yeah. And what's the point then to ask Durga for anything?
That's the point. No, she can help. She can give you all the nice temporary things you want.
But they will go anyway.
Yes, so that's why it said less intelligent.
Nothing is further.
Further, okay. Let's go.
If it's anyway gone, then go.
Yes, but at least then there's the element of Krishna.
Relationship?
Yes, because the point is you're asking Krishna, that's more intelligent. It's not most intelligent. It's in between. Right? Because the point is Durga's giving under Krishna's authority. So what she's authorized, she can give, but the point is it will be purely temporary. Well, if you ask Krishna and it's connected to Krishna, and you see, if it's just you're asking him, give me this and that's it, that'll be very meager, your connection. If you understand that he's the one that controls the material energy, he's arranging, it's his opulence, his potency, then you're going to have that devotional side, and then there's going to be the material benefit. The material benefit will be temporary. Right? How long temporary is, that's another thing. Does that make sense? But the point, that's temporary, but the devotional part, the surrender to Krishna, that's the permanent. So because it's devotion, we do that with time, that will slowly start to become the prominent. As we get, because it's service, we'll get knowledge and detachment. So that means we can take it a step further, step further, step further. at that. That's the idea of the mixed devotional service. Is if you're using it in a positive way, then we'll call it karma yoga, jnana yoga, right? That means, so in other words, karma yoga, jnana yoga, we're pointing out the connection to Krishna. Mixed devotional service, we're pointing out the part that's not pure. You understand? So it's just a matter of which way we're looking at it. Right? Now if I say, now we have the glass, is it half full or half empty? Now we just say, oh no, it's half full. That, are we going to fill it the rest of the way? You understand? So all this nice night, oh yes, it's all, that's good to encourage up to the point that someone does something. But if we encourage, they're in ignorance, they're doing nothing, so we encourage them, no, it's not half empty, stop lamenting, you don't have to lament, it's half full. Now they start to do something to fill the other half, now that's good. Now if it's just a matter of, now instead of being lamenting in ignorance, now they're just pleasantly in ignorance, then what benefit have we actually given? That's the whole point. That's why these things are dealt with very carefully. You have to have both sides. Means understanding is half full means the process that happened to get it half full, if I continue that, it will be completely full. That's the idea of half full. But when we think half full is good enough, no, it's actually half empty. It's not half full. And then it's kind of, you have to do something. In other words, the idea is something must be done. So, therefore, if we're looking at it from the point of inspiration, then karma yoga means whatever we're doing, we're connecting it to Krishna. That's the dynamic part. But if we think, oh, this is good enough, like the other day, who was mentioning, yeah, well, you know, we don't have to work, don't be fanatic, you know, things like this, you know, later, all this kind of stuff like that, and make sure you get the hand movement in there, it's part of the thing, right? You know, then we say, no, this is mixed devotional service, like that. That's going to keep you here. Well, if they're like that, you know, whatever they're doing, they're trying to connect to Krishna and all that, we say, that's what's going to get them out of here. So that's the thing, they both are important. Right? The modern is you take one or the other. But the Vedic is, no, you have to have both. You apply each where it is. If someone has a cold, you use cold techniques for cold. You have a fever, you use techniques for that. And they're opposite. Does that make sense? So if the guy has a fever, no, just, you know, cold, you know. You know, sit him next to the fire and give him something, hot things to drink, and, you know, wrap him up and like that, then it's not going to work out. So that's the idea, is that they're both correct, right? So in other words, going to Krishna for your material desire, now that's the beginning of correct. Because then why would we go to him? What level are we seeing it at? Order supplier. So therefore we're seeing Brahman and Paramatma. But the idea is that we start there because of the devotion to Bhagavan. Eventually that will become the prominent. Then we'll start to look at this order supply in connection with him. Like even we say, okay, we're doing this. I don't want to eat this, but you know, I'll cook it for Krishna. But then the whole point is, you know, he's the senses, he's this, that. Okay. But that's it technically there. Brahman, Paramatma, he is, that's what he is. But then on Bhagavan, what does Krishna get out of this?
Devotion.
Yes, so then we have to make sure the devotion is there. Because then it switches from, I'm cooking this prep because I like it, into, I'm cooking for Krishna and I happen to know this prep. You understand? That's the difference. So, oh, we're Westerners, we don't know. Bottom line, most Westerners don't know how to cook anyway. And if they do know how to cook, they're not the ones making these comments. You know what I'm saying? Because real cooks are inspired to cook anything. Right? Real cooks cook a variety of things. And guys say, oh, well, I can only cook this, you know, I can only make my pot roast. So that's because that's all they know. You know what I'm saying? So they're not cooks. So they can't say, oh, no, but we're Westerners, we cook. No, we just say, I'm uncultured, I don't know cooking, I don't know any culture, so therefore I'm just doing what I know. Okay, that's honest, then you're humble. No, they want to present their lack of culture as, you know, the epitome of, you understand? So that's where this comes in. Is depending on the mentality, then you're either inspiring or chastising. Is that what it says? So both are valid. But when we get it to the point of Bhagavan, that's then when then it gets serious, and then when we actually make it into Bhagavan fully, that's where Sarvadharmam Parityaja comes in. Because if I'm supposed to give up all religions, that means giving up my conditioning. That doesn't mean giving up my conditioning in connection with following the Vedic rules, but I follow all the modern rules. It means I give up the perspective that I am this body. You know, so someone on the platform of Sarvadharmam Parityaja doesn't say, oh, we're not from the Vedic culture, we can't follow them. They say, we're the soul, I'm connected to Krishna, and in the situation I'm in, this is what I can do to serve Krishna.
But we probably say that Vedic is within varieties of religion that we should be giving up.
Okay, even if we do there, but since it's the superior of all of them, wouldn't we give that one up last? You know, Prabhupada says Bengal is east, and the farther west you go, the more degraded it becomes. So that means first we give up West Coast, right? Then we'd accept the Midwest and the Southern and the more personal and the more down-to-earth kind of thing, rather than the airy-fairy, completely impersonal West Coast kind of sense and joint. That would be the first to come. Then we get into the more dynamic drive and that of the East Coast. Then we, you know, come over to Europe and then be like
West
that.
Coast of Europe.
Yeah, and then we move over to East Bloc, which is more personal like that. I mean, you know, like this. We just move across until we get to Maya.
Then we go to Bangladesh.
Yeah.
The culture is less affected by
it. Yeah, yeah. No, that's there. That's there. That this, your son there, you go down to wherever the sun comes up. You go down to the Bay of Bengal, right where the Ganga is. It's up really early. I remember at this time on the boat, 4:30 in the morning, it's full daylight. The farmers are already out in the field plowing.
Yeah.
And the sun comes up like at 3. Like here, it comes up at 4:30 in the shortest day. You know, Mangalarti thing, you look out the jolly and just, there's the sun. Not a little red glow, but it's right there. It's already up. You know, so there it's, you know, so that's where it comes over the earth from that point. Okay. Yeah. So does that make sense? Yeah. So we can catch what we're trying to... This is the crux that we're trying to get at. We're just taking different angles to approach it. Right, so now we're talking about wealth. Before we were talking about, you know, family life and that. But now, okay, we take family life in general. Okay, yes, family life and that. But, you know, what about the money? So now we're talking about the money. Is that what? Okay. We have actually seen that one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to enjoy the property of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, being merciful towards him, gave him the temporary property, but not the power to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Right? So that was there. Is that some are worried about the preaching, some are worried about the properties. Like that.
Prabhupada's own commentary.
Yeah, so therefore one got the properties. You know, actually legally. Like that, through the court in his own name and everything like that. But never the power to preach. Like that. And so they couldn't do anything else other than get property. So that mutt has always just tried to get property. Like that. And that Shatadanya fought a 10-year case of them trying to get ISKCON's property. With the same group. Like that. So they never could preach. They could never expand. They could only get property. And generally property that someone else already created. They couldn't even generate their own. So that's the point is, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very kind and gave him that, but he didn't give him the ability to preach, which is the real point of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can one switch at any moment, or once one has asked Krishna for something, then eternally he's stuck with it? No. The point is, the soul is transcendental. At any moment they can adjust. Like we mentioned, inspiring story, Maharaj Kadvanga, he surrendered in a moment. Or the gopis, the wives of the Brahmins, Yajnik Brahmins. So it's possible. At any moment one can. Like that. But you socially carry on whatever position you're in, because if you don't do that, everybody thinks you're weird. Like that. So if you do act on the platform of pure devotional service, that's why you follow all the social etiquette, because if you don't, people will think you're strange. Like that. Like that. That's just the way it is. Does that make sense? So that's why it's there. Because then there's common ground. Because you have a devotee who's a new devotee. Someone who's a more advanced Kanista. Someone's a Madhyama, an advanced Madhyama. Uttama. How do they all interact? Because their level of consciousness is so different. But there's a common principle, Krishna. Right? So that's what holds them together as devotees. But how do you socially hold them all together? That's the Vedic system. So we take it, I follow it because I need something. If I don't need anything, I throw it out. Right? So therefore, grihasthas tend to throw it out because it's not quick enough. And brahmachari sannyasis throw it out because we don't need all that mundane stuff anyway. So then nobody understands the point. But otherwise, how do they interact? But the Vedic social system is the common social system.
Looks like nobody applies.
Yes, but that's the problem. Yes, because otherwise, if it's the same system in India, wherever you go into anybody's house, they're following the same system. So the point is the Hindus have one culture, unlimited philosophies. We have one philosophy, unlimited cultures. Probably gives the example of lame man, blind man. So that means that means the lame man's carrying around the blind man. No, excuse me. No, the lame man's being carried around by the blind man. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is more fun. Yeah. So in other words, the point is this, at the same time as you have to understand sophistication and all these different things. Because since we don't distinguish, and we can't distinguish, then we can't tell the difference between somebody who's acting on city culture and village culture. And so that's why we seem to get frustrated. Because, some thousands of years we've kind of gotten used to city culture. But underlying, then we're tribals. So that's the point, is in India, if someone acted with the sophistication of someone in the West, the personal culture and personal qualities would be so refined. That's why it freaks Indians out, is that you have someone who deals on such a culture platform, and then, you just sneeze and you turn around, there's a knife in your back. And they went, how did this happen? And the rest of it, we're just being practical. We're just getting things done. At the same time, as we go, okay, if this is the highest cult, why are they so unsophisticated? That's because they're villagers. Does that make sense? Because if you met a cultured city, Indian, you would feel bad. Because you would feel so uncultured. So that's how you know. If you feel you're superior, you're dealing with the villager. If you feel you're inferior, you're dealing with the city person. Right. So that's the thing. But culture, they can both get along. One's just unsophisticated, one's more sophisticated. So the sophisticated one in India is able to accommodate and engage the unsophisticated. So that's the point. You get one of these city Indians who's cultured. You know, not that he was from a village and now he's in the city. We're talking about these are, you know, generationally they're cultured people. They can engage thousands of these village people and make everybody happy and everything like that because they know the culture. But because they have the greater sophistication, they can make greater arrangements. You know, hence, I don't think we have a person in the movement from the West who could organize a parikram to Vrindavan or Mayapur with 5,000 people and every detail along the way, down to how many peas are in the sabji. We don't have one manager in the society who's from the West that could do this. Not one. And that's a pretty broad statement. We don't have one who could do it without going nuts. There's a couple who could do it. Let me see, there's one who could do it. Who could do it, but one, he's not with us anymore, and two, he would go nuts, and three, he would drive everyone else nuts. But you see, is these Topaniwalas, they just come in and very peacefully just make arrangements. They just got, you know, it's already arranged beforehand, 6 months before. They already have the tickets booked. We can't even buy tickets 2 months ahead. They've already booked a train 6 months before, the whole train. Yeah, that's why we can't buy the tickets. See? They were there first, right? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that we're not catching what the culture is, what it's offering. So therefore, if we maintain that sophistication and give up the sinful attitude, then we can do something very nice. But we think the sinful attitude is part of the dynamic and that actually gets things done. Unless you're rough and tough and chew people up and spit them out, then you're not a manager. You know, if you're a nice guy, then what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's just in the code. That's the problem. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's a matter, you know, okay, 20 people there, okay, you're in charge. Now it's about, you know, what I say everybody does. You take the culture in India and say, okay, you're in charge. Okay, everyone come over, let's say, you know, like this, what's going on, how is everybody, you know, like this. So different. You can watch in the temple room. People don't see that. They just see the villagers yelling and screaming, standing next to you and this and that. No one notices the culture people. Because you have to have culture to see it. And hence the statement by devotees who identify with the Western culture, oh, we have nothing to learn from these Indians. And they have nothing to learn because they can't. They don't have the adhikar to learn. Right? But by devotional service, then we can learn because we're not the bodies, we're the soul. This is the natural culture. So by devotional service, then we can learn. We can even be better at doing the Western stuff.
That'll catch their attention.
It will. Right? Somebody said, devotees who are cultured, how they dress, how they speak, they work on these top levels. They work with governments. They work with all these kind of people. People are attracted by them. Just the whole behavior, the whole everything. How they dress, how they talk, their arrangements. Because of devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that it can be done if we actually do accept we're not the body. But we say, I'm not the body, therefore I can do all the stuff that I think I'm the body. But if I'm not the body, then that means it's a set of tools, how can I use it for Krishna? And there's no better system than the Vedic. It's the most complete. It accommodates everybody. Right? Devotees are all together. Why? Right? Devotional service. What do we do in devotional service? Right? Come to Mangal Arti, chant our rounds, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, Darshan Arti, Bhagavatam class, you know, if you're eating at the temple, then the Prasad. Okay. That brings us together. Everybody, no matter where they're from, they can function together. Now morning program's over. Now what holds everybody together? Nobody has the same living thing, same values in living, same interactions with their family members, same way of talking, same kind of food, same kind of dress. So that's the point where we come together at sadhana. There's thousands in the temple. We walk out the door of the temple. If we have one, two, or three friends, we're doing really good. You understand? So the Hindus, they walk out the door, they still have the same interaction because the culture is the same. Culture is the same. You're on the train, you're sitting there, it doesn't matter who they are, they can all interact and this and that. They're on the train for 24 hours. You might as well interact with the people, right? You know, got food, hey, what do you got? You know, and share. And you understand? And so it doesn't matter where they're from in India because the culture is the same. That's the point. So we have the philosophy that brings us all together. We have the sadhana, direct devotional activities that bring us all together. But when it comes to the indirect, then, you know, and what are we crying for? You know, social and economic, you know, stability and interactive. We're talking about the secondary. We're not talking about, you know, yes, let's all sit down and chant japa together. That already goes on. Or yes, we should all, you know, accept Srimad Bhagavatam. No, that we already do. So all the discussions about devotee relationships, about community, about all these kind of things, is all based on the secondary, the indirect aspects. And then the one system that can hold it all together, we're rejecting. And then each one puts forward their own idea. And it won't work. American culture works for Americans. It doesn't work for anybody else. And West Coast works for West Coast. And that means Southern California. When we say West Coast, we mean Southern California. Because there's two other states on the West Coast and they don't buy into it. Right? So when we say West Coast, it means Southern California. Because even the San Francisco people don't buy into the LA thing. You understand? And so that's not the thing. You know, people from the South are always disappointed by relationships with other devotees that are from the North or from the West, because they're not personal enough. They say something, they don't do it. Southerner says he does. It's his word. Like that. You understand? Like that. Northern, you know, you have to get things done and that. And the West Coast, sit back, relax. So it doesn't even work there. You know, and so every country you go to, it'll have that kind of thing. You know, Italy, the guys up north are more, you know, like that. And down south, hey, you know, paisano, you know. It's like the UP wall, cholega, you know, it goes on, don't worry. You know, don't get uptight, you know, things will be okay. You know, so you have all these different, every place has that. So that's the thing, there is no common culture. And if we take, what is the common culture of the West? If we say, oh, we're Western, what's the common culture? Wear whatever you like, eat whatever you like, do whatever you like, whenever you like. And then when you say Vedic, oh no, you can't do that, even though the principle is do whatever you like. You know, it's like, this is the insanity. Does that make sense? So the point is there. That will bring everything together. If we have the philosophy that devotees are fixed in, they have the sadhana that they're fixed in. What they're not is in the culture. If they catch that, then it's a complete package. So we got two out of three. Like that. We just have to add this one. It's biggest by volume, but it doesn't mean that it's the most detailed. You know, it's like packing in the box. You know, the packing is the biggest part. Yes. The culture starts with us. Yes, that's the difficulty. It started with someone. If everybody else, then we would have established it long ago. Because you know, everybody else has to follow it, I don't. So then, but since I have to follow it, that's the big problem. But just be nice. The question is that, you know, about following the culture, but if you're dependent, then how do you follow the culture? You know? So the point is if on the platform being a devotee, you can follow it yourself, how much you can. In other words, there's the mentality of the culture, then there's the form of the culture. So you may not be able to follow the form of the culture if no one's creating the environment. But the mood of the culture you can follow. That's the most important. That's why it doesn't happen, because when devotees do try to follow the culture, they just take the form. They don't take the mood. Yes. Yeah. It's like Trinada Pisuni Chena, Toror Apisishtuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That any individual can do. That's the essence of all the culture. You follow that, then everything will work culturally. Does that make sense? So that you can do. Now whether you have the natural forms, then you can say yes, that we do the best we can. That's the point of the variety. Maya is always changing. And Maya gives us what we want. We have all the non-Vedic stuff because that's what we want. We want Vedic, then we'll get it. Is that what it says? Yes.
You mentioned that we have 2 out of 3. The fact that there's a difference of variety within culture, isn't that a symptom of a weakness in the philosophy? Mm. Because at heart, we don't agree on what is.
No, but that's material consciousness. That's not spiritual. The point is we identify with the thing, and therefore that's what we have to do. But the point is what they identify with. It's just like, let us say, Creole cooking. Mm-hmm. Is that part of American culture?
In the South,
yes. Yeah. Oh, they use all kinds of spices and chilies and everything like that. And then you have Americans, oh no, this chili is all foreign. It says they eat hot like anything. You know, like half of America on the, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon line speaks Spanish. And they don't mind chilies at all. So I don't know what Americans are talking about. You know what I'm saying? So the point is when they say American, it means what they grew up there, what their mother cooked for them, what they're used to.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you go next door, they have cooked completely different food.
Doesn't that then spawn a philosophical deviation when you try to justify it?
Yeah, if you try to justify it, it's just a matter of, no, you engage it. That's why the term is dovetail, not justify. You understand? When we dovetail it, then it works. The point is if we give up the material attachment, my approach to, okay, let us say my body's made out of wheat, and so I do better with wheat. Right? So the point is, but what's the point of my maintaining the body so nicely with wheat? So I can do devotional service. So it's not about the wheat. It's just that's my body. My body works good on wheat. Someone else is, you know, they can say wheat's the thing, but most of the world eats rice. You know what I'm saying? All those guys that are taking over the businesses in the West, they all come from backgrounds that eat rice. You know, all the Indians and the Orientals, they're rice eaters, you know. They're doing quite fine.
And they drink tea also.
And they drink tea. Yeah. Yeah. Middle of summer, they're drinking their hot tea. They never drink cold. You know, so that's the thing, is that this idea is that that's just attachment. So the point is we engage the attachment, we can't say the attachment's bona fide. Mm-hmm. That's a weakness in our consciousness, not in our philosophy. Because we can accommodate that. That's why Prabhupada gave the general diet in the north, chapatis, rice, dal, sabji. right? Because Bengalis eat rice, hardly eat chapatis. Punjabis eat chapatis, they just don't eat rice. You eat white rice, you're sick. That's what you eat. Right? Marwaris, Gujaratis, chapatis, a little bit of rice. UP, now that's where you get, you know, big pile of rice, big pile of chapatis. So basically you've been given the UP diet. You know, it's more generic, it's kind of like, you know, everybody can find, fit in. So Prabhupada's smart. So there it is. You just have to learn to cook chapatis.
Yeah. And rice and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, pretty straightforward. Does that work?
Yeah. I guess connect that though, wouldn't there be a difference in the Abhideya Gyan and the Sambandha Gyan in that we agree on the basic tenets of the philosophy, but it's the application of that philosophy where there's a philosophical misunderstanding or a philosophical weakness?
No, there's always going to be that it's the same to apply it because it's detailed changes. Principles never change. So that Krishna is involved in everything, that's always there. The detail where we're seeing Krishna, where someone values Krishna, that will change. So it's way bigger than the social thing. That's the whole point. We're talking Anandamaya, but we're trying to reconcile it on the platform of Pranamaya. No, Anandamaya already includes the other four levels. Pranamaya is only sense gratification. How do you say? Sophisticated sense gratification. So, in other words, we take sense gratification and try to cover it up so it doesn't look like sense gratification. It's just like this. Let us say we have this. We have two guys on the side of the street sitting down on the ground, shabby clothes, and they have one bottle of wine between the, and there's two of them sitting there. How do we look at them? Oh, winos, this, that, low class, this, that. Now, we just look up and there's windows there. And there's next to that, there's a door. You walk in that door and there's this fancy restaurant and all that. And the couple will walk in and sit down at a table for two. And they'll order what? One bottle of wine. Yeah, but they'll drink the same thing. Somehow or another, they're sophisticated and all civilized. This. It's not sense, yeah, civilized, not sense gratifying. These other guys just low class, sense gratifiers. They're both drinking the same amount of wine. That's, you know, that's the difference. Just one, the wine was, you know, done in France, and the other one was done in Southern California. That's all.
When we have glass, one
can have glass. Yeah, one has the glass, one doesn't have the glass, you know. So, you know.
In a paper bag.
Yeah. More sophisticated. Well, that's why it's a paper bag, because it's not, you know, some fancy one. The other ones don't want the paper bag because they want everyone to see, oh, that's the 1963, you know, like this. You understand? So it's just a matter of how we're perceived. So that's the problem with Pranamoy. It sounds so good, but actually it doesn't have any substance. It's only substance is based in Dharma. But basically, it means I'm using Dharma for sense gratification. So the only reason I follow it is because of the benefit I get. But it's not about being Dharmic, it's about Artha. That's the difference. So it appears that they're religious people. You know, nice, good, but they're not actually. Individuals may be, but the system isn't. So that's what we have to give up, that faith and commitment. This is here. So it's not a weakness in the philosophy. The weakness is in our understanding of the philosophy.
Yes. So when Srila Prabhupada, he was very keen to invite Western devotees to come to India.
Yes.
And some of them to stay a long time in India.
Yes.
So it was mainly for devotees to learn the culture, and how to apply in our own life and then in the Western country.
Yes, that was the idea. Well, I mean, '70s Prabhupada wanted, he actually wanted every devotee in the movement to spend at least a year in India so that they pick up some of the culture and everything like that. But devotees never, they don't understand the point of it, so they don't see the importance.
Because now when we come to India, for the Western side, we have a student visa usually, you know, something like that. So we are supposed to study Vedic culture, this is I think.
Yeah.
But how, what are the steps done by his come to study Vedic culture?
That you have to ask, you have to ask others. Like that. We can say what is the system,
yes,
but
yes.
What people follow, that's another thing. Because
yes.
That's the point, is therefore, since everything's about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, how do you eat, sleep, mate, and defend according to the Vedic principles?
Yes. Yes.
You know, Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, it's the Vedic principles. You know, it's like that. You know, family, wife, children, wealth, relatives, land, how, what's the Vedic system?
Yes.
Because when devotees are talking about social, they're only talking these things. They're talking about it as if it's some highfalutin thing. But it's only eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's all they're talking about. You know? Getting together, being nice, and talking nice. But why do we have to get together and talk nice? Because at home, they don't talk nice. And there's somehow everybody else is the bad guy. If somebody actually does talk nice at home, then they would, you know, try to encourage other people to talk like that. But the discussion is, well, how should we go about it? So that means they don't talk nice at home. They don't know. That's why when the Vedic culture says, talk nice, you know, what is this? Everything we want, you know, it says, do your duties, do your occupation. That's how you get money. People want money. The Vedic system says to do that. You want nice family relationships. It says how to work them. You know, like Prabhupada said before, it's that one. It says you have that catch-22, is that if the husband acts in a henpecked way, all the other, he'll lose his reputation in society. But if he doesn't act in that way, his family life won't work. So that's the point. He has to act like that, and he has to be disrespected in society. The two go together. You know, but we want to be the big guy outside and the big guy inside. It won't work. You take your choice. You're the big guy outside, you're not inside. You're the big guy inside, you're not outside. You can't have both. That's the thing. We want the cake and eat it. So we have the cake, we make a hologram, we eat the hologram.
And somehow we don't feel satisfied.
No, yeah, I don't know why, but we have the cake. Right? You understand? So that's the thing. The point is you don't do anything that you don't value. Thinking, feeling, willing. So unless willing is there, there's no action. So that's the point is, and are we thinking about something? No. So if you don't think, then there won't be the feeling, oh, this is good. So therefore, it won't be the determination and drive, the willing. So that's the whole point. Right? If I think Sankarshan, then I'll feel Prajumna, then I'll will Aniruddha. Then what happens? Vasudeva, I perform the activity. But if I don't have the knowledge, Sankarshan, then we don't even get to that stage. So how much is that being discussed? Prabhupada's discussing it practically in every purport. Like that. But we're not. We'll read this purport and go, yes, therefore we have to do, you know, surrender or do books or something nice, but you know, what about the culture? You know, why can't we surrender, do books, and have the culture?
It needs goodness.
Yes, it needs goodness, which is not, you know, a popular item outside the Vedic culture. Yes. You know, closest he gets, Rainbow Festival. But that's kind of like mixed with a lot of ignorance. That's as goodness as it gets. You know, or Mother Teresa or something. Okay. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay. Okay. That special mercy of the power to preach is given to a devotee who does not want anything material from his spiritual master, but wants only to serve him. Right? Then you can preach. Because if you want something material, how will you preach the spiritual? That's this. The story of the demon Ravana illustrates this point. Although Ravana tried to abduct the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, from the custody of Lord Ramachandra, he could not possibly do so. The Sita Devi he forcibly took with him was not the original Sita Devi, but an expansion of Maya or Durga Devi. As a result, instead of winning the favor of the real goddess of fortune, Ravana and his whole family were vanquished by the power of Durga Devi. Right? So instead of gaining everything, he lost everything. That's the point. So if it's about Krishna, you have everything. You want everything, then you have nothing. That's the point. That's, see, it comes down to we want our cake and eat it. No, it's like we want. If you have Krishna, you have the primary. Then all the variety and change in the secondary just adds to the flavor, and we're not worried about it. We're not attached to it. Right? So we're attached to Krishna and not the secondary. Then the secondary is there to serve Krishna. When we're attached to the secondary without Krishna, then that variety will bother us. Like Ravana has money, then he loses money.
Yes.
Right? So Ravana is losing all his kingdom. Is that considered glorious? Is that the part of the story that we're just waiting for? wait, the best part, right? No, but Ram losing the kingdom, going to the forest, losing everything, losing... like that we hear about. Right? You understand? Because it's connected to Krishna. Yes.
In the same way, by the Gaudiya Math inheriting all the property and all the, you know, the material facilities, that's kind of like abducting Chaya Sita.
Basically.
They didn't really get the essence of...
No, they missed. They missed. Like that. That was the whole problem. Is God brothers are talking about the philosophy, and this other God brothers walking around waving papers and say, all this is mine. You know? And nobody cared.
Hmm.
You know, eventually they just went out and opened their own places. You know, so Prabhupada, because it had all the facility, Prabhupada was trying to connect with that mutt to open the center in New York. They didn't want anything to do with it. Like that. But once Prabhupada established all the centers and all that, then they made court cases to try to take them all. Like that. So that's the difficulty. Is that the essence is, that's why it says preaching is the essence. Facility that's there, it means, in other words, we do our best to maintain that which is maintained. But why is it maintained? Because the culture says it's maintained. Right? We get a nice building, we keep that. Not that we change buildings every week for variety. Right? You know, you change the menu. You don't change the... Does that make sense? So, but that's governed by the Vedic culture. So that's how we know what things will change on a quicker scale, what change on a small, you know, bigger. You know, now it's just, you know, a few devotees and then it expands. We have to be able to accommodate that also. Like some of the devotees that were there right when it's very small and just with Prabhupada, and it's expanded, they couldn't adjust. So then they all kind of shift outside. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that if it's about the spiritual master and without anything else, then you stick to that. Right? So you'll see those devotees that they couldn't adjust anything else, it's still just Prabhupada and how life was then and simple. They just do it in their own house. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so that the thing is that then if it's focused on Krishna, then it works, and if not, then everything's destroyed. Like that. So that's amazing. Lakshmi Devi continued, O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction, therefore your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head. For although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. And so even though she has the best position out of humility, because that's the symptom of devotional service, she thinks that my position isn't actually that good.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice, it's a position, but in reality, you're putting your hand on everybody else's head. Like that. So that's the point. The devotee always will see the glory of the other devotees and then the weakness in this self. So therefore, the other person, oh, see, the glass is half full, my glass is half empty. It's the same position. So that's the point. We glorify the others and we don't glorify ourselves. If it's the other way around, then it's a slight problem. Yeah. 23. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Lakshmi Devi says, though worshipped by Brahma and others, I am your wife. I do not attain the good fortune that the devotee without material desires attains from you. I am unfortunate. Though you reside in my heart eternally, please put your lotus hand on my head, which you place on the heads of your devotees. This hand is praised by the sages as the bestower of fortunate mercy, to which the Lord replies, but you have good fortune which is greater than that of all others, because I hold you eternally on my heart as a mark. Ashamed, putting her cloth over her face, she says defiantly in a low voice, you hold me on your chest as a golden line, but that is by deception. You do this only because you think, seeing the good fortune of my devotees, may unintelligent Lakshmi not show hatred to me. Therefore, you allowed me on your chest. This was done without sincerity. The Lord replies, but no one says this. And Lakshmi retorts, but who can speculate about your desires? You know, so she's making this point, he's making his counter, but he says, no one else talks like this, but no one can understand your motives. So that's the feminine nature. So we see even in the right-wing aspect, there's always that. The feminine nature is there, the contrary, the elusive, the shyness is all there. So you see all this at once. Now here, ashamed, putting her cloth over her face, she says in a defiantly low voice, right? So defiant, the contrary, low voice, elusive, shy, you know, all at once. It just creates. That's the. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, or the Goddess of Fortune, nor indeed my own self, is as dear to me as you are. I have heard the secret utterance to your devotee. So. You know, this has been said by the Lord to Uddhava. So that's the whole point, is because of the formality and all that. And they're so dear. But so it doesn't mean that, okay, this one's okay and everybody else is not. They're all good, but then there's the gradation. Then they're even more and more and more. So she's seeing, she has great fortune, but others also have great fortune. Srila Prabhupada adds, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that no one can receive the real favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without following in the footsteps of the gopis. Even the Goddess of Fortune could not receive the same favor as the gopis, although she underwent severe austerities and penances for many years. Right? Because it's not by doing something that itself generates, it's the particular devotion. That's what generates it. Because that's why Prabhupada said, the gopis, they're not, you know, seriously austere or great scholars or great vratas or, you know, so many rituals. It's just they just have that love for Krishna, that simple love for Krishna. That's what makes it work so nicely. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discusses this point with Venkatabhata in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 9:111-131. The Lord inquired from Venkatabhata, your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayana, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my Lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a cowherd boy engaged in tending cows. Why is it that that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my Lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha, and for a long time accepted vows and regulated principles and performed unlimited austerities. Vyankatabhatta replied. So this is fun discussions. Lord Krishna and Lord Narayana are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. They are very pleasing for Krishna's shaktis. Since Krishna and Narayana are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna did not break her vow of chastity. Right? So, because he's saying, she said, oh, why is she going? Because they're the same person. But in this way we see Krishna's position and the pastimes there are a superior taste. Rather, it was great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she can enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. If she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Yes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I know that there is no fault in the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from revealed scripture. The authorities of Vedic knowledge met Lord Ramachandra in Dandakaranya, and by their penances and austerities, they were allowed to enter into the rasa dance. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not get that opportunity? To this, Vyankatabhatta replied, I cannot enter into the mystery of this incident. I am an ordinary living being. My intelligence is limited, and I am always disturbed. How can I understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? They are deeper than millions of oceans. Right? So here is that you know, ordinary because just we're in the material situation. Right? So intelligence is limited, and I am disturbed. Right? So we have limited intelligence, and what intelligence we do have then is distracted by being disturbed. So therefore, we can't understand these. So that's why Krishna reveals like that. Then we can see. Otherwise, then we won't. Lord Chaitanya.
Unfortunate and short-lived.
Unfortunate and short-lived. But throw it on top of the pile. Right? Lord Chaitanya replied, Lord Krishna has a specific characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So, but it was there was that, he's not here, he said that there's also another definition of planet, or world means just that in your environment that you're in, that you know, your sphere of activities, like that. Because here he's calling Braja Loka, mm-hmm. It's its own planet, yeah. You know, or Goloka Vrindavan, yeah. Right? So, like this, is that it's its own planet, but at the same time, it's just one planet. Does that make sense? So that's the important part, is that we you know, the point is here, they're talking about the different parts of Jambudvip. And so they're their own worlds. So now whether they're a separate planet or not, that's not actually the important part. The important part is this is the sphere of activity where that we see and we're involved in, so how are we going to view that in connection with the Lord?
Based on consciousness.
Yes, based on consciousness. That's the real perception of the world. Because otherwise, if we just go by what I can perceive with my senses, the senses being imperfect and the tendency to cheat, right, make mistakes, then we're going to have a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. By following the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Brajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So it's following in the footsteps. Mm-hmm. However, the inhabitants of that planet do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the residents of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, Jashoda Devi, and the gopis treat Krishna as their beloved son or lover. Mother Jashoda accepts him as her son and sometimes binds him to a grinding mortar. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends think he's an ordinary boy and get up on his shoulders. In Goloka Vrindavan, no one has any desire other than to love Krishna. The conclusion is that one cannot associate with Krishna unless he has fully received the favor of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi. Therefore, if one wants to be delivered by Krishna directly, he must take to the service of the residents of Vrindavan who are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Right? So, you want to take shelter of Krishna directly, you have to take shelter of his devotees. That's how you take direct shelter. Right? We want that direct service, but you do that by taking shelter of the devotees. So Lakshmi Ji, we don't hear her taking shelter of the Brajavasis. She just goes and performs austerities. Yes.
But another aspect of this is that just as Narayan and Krishna are on different, Lakshmi and Radha are on different.
Yes, places. Yes.
There's no question of superseding the same person.
Yes. But at the same time is that there's, in that form, she does it because she never leaves the position of Lakshmi because she always considers him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she can't actually take up that form.
Yeah.
Right? And Radharani doesn't look at him that way, therefore she can't take up the mood of Lakshmi.
Yeah.
But if he takes that mood, she takes that mood.
Yeah. And she wouldn't be Radharani.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's that, you know, the different revelations of Lord Chaitanya. Then to one of the devotees, he's showing himself as, I think, Ramananda Rai, as Radha and Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I think with other devotees, he's showing as Lakshmi Narayan.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Lord Ram.
Yeah. Lord Ram, Varahadev.
Yeah.
You know, so all these different, depending on how the devotees see. Like that. So Lakshmi Ji is, as in these two here, she's not taking shelter of the Brajabasis, and she's not giving up the point that she's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She just wants to go have these pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So since they're the same, it's not unchaste in that way. That's why it was a joke. They weren't getting into she is Radharani.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Mm-hmm. But the point is this, that if you want that, then you must, if you want to associate with Krishna, then you have to do it by receiving the favor of the devotees who are. That's the whole point. So that's why we can do, because then we can say, oh, if Lakshmi can't do it, we can't do it. No, because Lakshmi is Lakshmi because of that, because if she gave that up, she wouldn't be Lakshmi anymore. Right? But we're giving up our false identity here. That's her real identity.
Mm-hmm.
That is who she is. But for us, you know, being here, that's false identity. Does that make sense? Yes.
This is the confirmation of the Sai Baba. Once you're there, never changes.
Yes, yes. Because
you can't
You can't change it. You wouldn't want to change it.
Yeah.
She just is interested in those pastimes to take part. She's not interested in changing the rasa.
Yeah.
She just likes those pastimes. So, you know, that's the way it is. You know. You're in the Lamborghini, you see the Ferrari go by, hey. You know, you're in the Ferrari, you see the Lamborghini go by, hey. You know, so it's like that's the way it is. So, yes. That's there, but the point is, but she's not getting the. If you want to go to Vaikuntha, you get the favor of the Vaikuntha Vasis. You want to go to Braj, you get the Brajavasis. So she's not taking shelter of the Brajavasis. Right? So, therefore, you see, in Vaikuntha, they appreciate the pastimes. Vyankatabhata is not saying, oh, these are lesser pastimes. No, he's saying, these are the top pastimes. They're the sweetest pastimes. But, you know, the point is that the Vaikuntha mood, that remains. So they see that. So when they're dealing, they don't have the flavor of Braj. They can be in lower Goloka. Right? Lower Goloka means where there's majesty. So there you're going to have, you know, Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha in the form of Dwarka, in the form of Mathura, but also there's the form of Vrindavan. Right? I mean, it's not our line. We don't deal with it. You know, just like we're not into the Dwarka or Mathura pastimes. We appreciate them and everything, but we're not involved in them. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way, we're not involved in this aspect of Vrindavan. that's done in majesty. So there's sweet pastimes of majesty. So they're like Dwarka, but with Radha and Krishna. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's its own flavor. It's not that many, you know, it's an aspect of Vaikuntha Rasa. Yes. Yes, but here they're the most sophisticated because it's based on love for Krishna. So what we're saying there is because of the culture, then you. But they're most sophisticated in the way of that refinement of interaction. But in complicatedness of the form, the social form, that then the Brajabasis are like villagers. You know what I'm saying? Like in Dwarka, Krishna's going out, or Mathura, you know, everything formal, goes in, sees his mothers, then, you know, the wife, then comes out, then he sees the intimate friends, then he goes out, then the public. Maybe the intimate friends, the men, can follow as long as they're big enough, like that, you know, like Yudhishthira and that, they can follow. Yeah. Like that until they get out. Citizens may follow because they're not so sophisticated. Right, you know. So if they do, then that happens. You know, then they get out, and then that's it. And then, you understand? But in Vrindavan, it's like everybody's out the front gate. You know, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So in that way, it's not complicated. So it doesn't have that sophistication of the city life. But as far as the sophistication in Rasa, it's the most. So that's why we have to be able to see there's these two. So that was what we were talking before, is that in the Vedic culture, they'll have that sophistication in the rasa, but not necessarily in the forms of expression. So they still act like villagers, though they're in the city, and they got tons of money. Right? Does that make sense? But so then, you know, and we're not villagers, we're forest dwellers. You know? Like that. And now we're in the city, but we still don't have the money. You know, so it's, something's wrong here. You know, and we don't have the culture. So that's the point. The sophistication of rasa is not there. Now, when you get up into the higher, more sophisticated culture, actually sophisticated, not what we call, you know, our but we're sitting here and making comments about these people, then there's a level above that. They have more the forms of the sophistication and everything, and the form of the culture, but it's not necessarily that they have the heart of the culture. So they know how to behave and deal and everything, and they do everything very properly. That's why someone who's not from that doesn't fit in. Not that they don't have as much material desire and demoniac qualities, just they are unable to express it in a more sophisticated form. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like something comes up now. The guy says something now you don't like. The unsophisticated person just says right now what he thinks. That really sophisticated, he doesn't say anything. He'll get you later. And he does. In ways that you never could imagine. You know, so that's the same mentality. Lack of purity. So that's the things. You have all these layers that are going on. So you have to be able to distinguish between these layers. So previously we didn't. It's just, you know, you're following the Vedic, you're not, you're this, that. Very strict. But now you're seeing, we see where the layers are. Where's the good part? Where's the bad part? So that, you know, more personal, down-home kind of thing that the common person has, especially your you know, lower class, lower middle class, kind of like that, then that kind of thought is the good part. The lack of sophistication, the lack of understanding how the senses work and how the culture and how the economic, that's their weakness. You go up to the upper middle class or the upper, then they understand that part, but they don't have that personal part. Right? So if you get someone on that upper that has that, you'll consider him the best. And if you have someone on the lower that doesn't have that, you'll consider him the worst. You know what I'm saying? So that's actually the main crux of the thing, is the character. And we're taking it as all kinds of pranamoyic things. But it's not that. You know? So that's the whole point. It's the character that comes from the culture that's based on the philosophy. right? Which means it's based on bhakti. Because bhakti automatically includes it. Yes. Yes, yes. You know, a bunch of monkeys, but, you know, they got their heart in the right place. So, therefore, who won? Ravana. He means Ravana is the most powerful. He has the whole universe in control. A bunch of monkeys come along and defeat him.
And some bears.
And a few bears also. Yeah. Toss it, don't forget the bears.
Right? Yes.
Like that. You know, so like that. So that's the whole thing, is that if you are doing something, just what was the point? Point before? When a devotee acquires unparalleled opulences, they are the direct gifts of the goddess of fortune who resides in the heart of Narayana. Right? So, okay. No, but where was the point before that? Okay. The special mercy of the power of Kapricha is given to a devotee who does not want anything material from a spiritual master, but only wants to serve him. So you combine, if that's followed, then they have that extraordinary material opulence, because it's given by Lakshmi Ji herself. Because they're only engaged in devotional service, therefore all their opulence is devotional service. Well, if you want material, you'll get material. You understand? If we want something and it's from a material consciousness, we can't get Lakshmi. It has to be Maya. It has to be Durga. Not that we're not engaging in the service, because they're the same person. But it's just she takes on the office of Durga. We engage in Krishna's service, and that part, then she's Lakshmi. But that part we don't, that remains Durga. So that's why it'll be temporary. That's why the results will you know, give us happiness or distress. Like that. Yes, up and down. But if we're doing to just serve to please the spiritual master, that opulence that comes, then that's not Maya. Does that make sense? So it's actually really simple, but somehow or another we're not simple enough. At least not in the right areas.
Simple and easy are two different things.
Yes. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. You simply have to invest at the right moment, yes, and sell at the right moment. It's that simple. You know, the buy-in is, minimum, $300,000. That's all. Yeah. Yes. Yes, but his point is this. You need to come to class more often. Because otherwise you skip and then you come in with all these points. You understand? So the point is that the rules and regulations are what you follow because they come from Krishna. But if we're following the rules and regulations because they're rules, that's where the problem comes. Because Vaikuntha is where rules is the medium of expression. We're following because this is what Lord Chaitanya has given us. So you have to be very, very careful in applying that point. Because if we give up the rules, what's to say we're following Lord Chaitanya?
No, but I think the mood.
The mood, but how do you express? Yes, but how do you express the mood? Like that. The husband has the mood of love for his wife. He never expresses it. Good? He's got the mood. Hey. You understand? So that's the point, is mood has to be there with the rules. So that's the point, is that you have to have mood and the rules. If you just have the rules, no mood, that's where the weakness is. Does that make sense? But what will be much of the time you take in is, oh, the rules don't matter, it's only mood, or, you know, oh, but then that's sahaji. We throw out the sahajas, then we become smartest. That's the balance. Mood and rules. Not rules, no mood, or mood, no rules. You understand? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So Lord Chaitanya is giving that in the simplest way. Because our program is so simple that therefore it's easier to put the two together. We see what, you know, Preeti Maharaj, and he has to do his big karmakanda yajnas and be fully Krishna conscious during it. That's a lot more difficult.
Why you see follow the rules and at the same time develop this love and devotion for Lord Chaitanya?
You said how or why? Or I didn't catch.
Following the rules.
Yes.
And at the same time, how to develop this?
Because that's what you want. That's what you want. You associate with those who have it. Hence the reading of the Krishna book before taking rest. Right, rather than Facebook and then, you know, all kinds of weird dreams.
With milk.
With milk.
Yes.
But not milk and Corella. One time I was in Wat Down in Thailand. We were right next to it. There was a Hindu temple. We stayed there because we didn't have a temple. And so, you know, very nice, the pujaris and that, and one night they gave us, because we take milk every night because that's standard, and then they eat chapatis and sabji. One night they cook Karela sabji. So Karela sabji with the chapatis, then drink the milk. It was like 72M full Technicolor dreams. I've never seen anything like that before, so. Not recommended. Krishna book, yes. Does that make sense? So in other words, we've been given the essence. We don't take what Prabhupada's given and say, oh, this is Vedic, we throw that out. Prabhupada's already thrown, the Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako, they've already done it. What they're given us, that's what we follow. You know, because when Prabhupada says, you know, devotees, they learned a few more rules in the puja, and they, oh, what are all the rules? I said, if I told you, faith. I actually had someone who was the person who was for ISKCON writing the rules for deity worship, because they were, you know, long time puja, doing all the technical. They had some questions on some things that they couldn't quite understand. We explained to them all the different points of water that you use in the puja and the difference in purity of them and what exactly they're for. They freaked. I mean, literally. They emotionally freaked right out. You know, so therefore, you know, guys are just, you know, hanging out at the donut shop. Yeah, you don't tell them a whole lot more. So that's the whole thing. Krishna's already made it very simple for us. Yes, sir. So that's the whole idea, is take what the acharyas have in that mood. Because that's the point, it's the mood. So if we take all these things that don't have the mood, it's useless. Because the point is then, once you catch the mood of it, then all that seeming complication is very simple, very easy. And it's like Achman, it takes up a page and a half. But once you know it, it takes you 7 seconds. And that's with all the mudras and everything. 24 names, the whole thing. 7 seconds, 7.5 seconds. So that's the whole point, is that the mood is there. That's gained because that's what you want. You associate with those who have that, or at least who desire that. In other words, if I can't associate with those who have it, I associate with those who are associating with those who have it. Right? And if you don't, that, then you keep on going as yesterday's, you know, the, how you say, the guest of honor of yesterday's program would explain it. Yes?
You can't cry.
Yes, that's the one. That was the one.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.